awake.
Well, that's a start.
I was just talking to Buddy, and boy, some people had a really tough day yesterday. Anybody here lose power yesterday? Many of you. Wow. Yeah. Well, God bless you. It was, we had heavy wind in Hanover, where we live. It was broadcast at 70 mile an hour, which is pretty good wind, and we had stuff in our yard that we shared with our neighbors, but we never lost power. And Buddy was telling me that he thought we were going to have to cancel church today, because he came in and around 6 o'clock, you said, and the power was out, and it was 90 degrees in here, and then he walked outside and the light came on. So Buddy's the guy to see when you need to see the light. Well, try Jesus too, okay? Yeah. Well, it's wonderful to see you again. Were you going to say something? You had, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he sure did. Yeah, God is there when we need him. No question about it. Well, do you have any announcements that you want to share with one another? Yes.
I don't know. There's a slim crowd today, but there's someone who used to come here to church. His name was Bruce Whitmer. We all knew him as Kenny Whitmer. And his parents were longtime members of this church. His mother was a pianist. So I know the people who might know him aren't here today, but he passed away, and his services are Wednesday. So
okay.
I was going to print a bit for the bulletin board and forgot.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
It's birthday Sunday. There's treats, cupcakes.
That's right. It's July. Mm-hmm. How many were born in July? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Great. Any other things that you want to share? Announcements or anything? Well, then I think we're ready for some music. Thank you, sister. I always love when you come, because you bring your children with you. And we need a few more children, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. I'm reading from John chapter 7, verses verses 37 and 38. If anyone is thirsty, Jesus is speaking, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, Jesus said, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We're going to sing now hymn number 310, and it will be projected on the screen. And we can remain seated. That's the truth, isn't it? All other ground is sinking sand. I want to read two more portions of the scripture. First is Proverbs. I'm happy to read. In fact, I read the last chapter of Proverbs as my Bible study today, the last several chapters. And so I'm reading first from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And it's one of my favorite passages in the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And then I want to also read from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. This is also my favorite scripture in the book of Lamentations, and Lamentations is mostly Jeremiah's complaints to God. And this is a wonderful word in the midst of those complaints. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one shall hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Do you have any joys and concerns that you would like to share? I know we shared one for the brother who died. What's his name again?
Kenneth Bender.
Kenneth. Any others? Yes.
My sister is in town from Tennessee, and my daughter is in town from South Carolina. And wow. They're going to be here till Tuesday, and they're going back on Tuesday, so we need to pray for their safe return.
Yeah, your sister and your daughter.
Yeah, my sister isn't here today because she lost power last night, didn't get it on until 6 o'clock in the morning, and she's kind of dead tired this morning, so.
I'll bet.
And then my son, he's still without, in Tawnytown, he's still without power.
Huh. Yeah. Well, that's much more violent than we had experienced up in Pennsylvania. We had plenty of power.
Well,
sorry.
If you live on the right side of Rocky Ridge, you had power. Buddy didn't, but I did.
Oh, you lived on the right side.
Right.
We have another prayer concern back here. No, back here. Yeah.
First off, pray for Caleb. He has a interview tomorrow with a vet clinic up in PA, which is the degree he's going for, so pray he makes a good impression there.
Yeah.
Kathy gets her test results on Thursday for the treatment, so pray for good news there. Keep Doris and Travis.
Any others? Yes.
Frank, as far as I know, Frank Free had his surgery and he came through it good, and he was supposed to come home yesterday. Now, whether he did or not, I don't know. So just keep Pat and Frank in your prayers.
Yeah, I had hoped to have a report on him because I went to visit him in the hospital, and his surgery was delayed, and so I had to leave before I actually got to see him. So, but let's continue to pray for Frank. Yes.
Continued prayers for Karen. The surgeon on Tuesday. She's really in a lot of pain.
Yeah, I tell you, she has really been suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think her surgery has been scheduled finally for sometime this month. No.
No, she goes to the surgeon on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
She goes for testing Wednesday, but.
Yeah, well, that's really too bad, because she's such a wonderful sister in Christ. Yes, others?
Oh, I have two unspoken requests.
Okay, two unspoken requests, okay. Well, let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we love you, we adore you, we lay our lives before you. Because you are a great and loving God. You're always there for us. You're always reaching out to us. You forgive our sins. You walk with us through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. Even there, we needn't fear evil. Because you are always with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. And we're grateful for that. We thank you for these names that have been lifted up to you. We pray your blessing on those who were before you, the names that have been lifted up to you. We pray that Frank is doing well. We pray that you would continue to walk with Karen. We pray for Tyler and Doris and Travis. We pray for Caleb, Kenneth, for the sister and the granddaughter of our sister, and for her unnamed concern, we pray. We thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you that you're for us, never against us. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only Son, Jesus, that we who believe in him might have life and have it abundantly. And so one of the things that we celebrate in this service today is the abundant life that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake. And all of God's people say, amen. We're going to sing another song, hymn number. Well, it doesn't matter what the number is, does it? Because
no.
it's projected. That's a goodie but oldie but goodie, isn't it? Showers of blessing. Well, we're continuing with a study found in the book of Colossians. And today we're looking at chapter 1, verses 26 through chapter 2, verse 6. And the theme of these messages is rooted in Christ. Paul, you may remember, has written this. He's in prison, and he's concerned about this new church in Colossae, and he's concerned that that they might go astray because they're the only church there, and there are a number of other religions in that area. And so from prison, he is writing this letter to the brothers and sisters in Colossae. And I'm going to read through I think it's 11 verses of this passage that we're looking at today. And it begins talking about a mystery. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. That would be you and me. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And here's the mystery. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man and woman in all wisdom, that we may present every person perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And again, this is Paul writing. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and for those in Laodicea, and for as many as have been seen, who have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, that they may be knitted together in love, that they may attain to the riches of the assurance and understanding of Christ, that they might have knowledge and wisdom. Now this I test alone. Should deceive you. I'm missing a word there somehow. He's not wishing that we would be deceived. Verse 5. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And then one more verse, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now, I was looking through some other sermons to find what other pastors are saying about this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I found these words that I want to share with you, written by a pastor, Pastor David, who's a pastor of a church outside of Washington, D.C. He's just a young pastor. And when I read these words, I thought, this is brilliant, and I wanted to share it with you. This is what he writes. The Christian life is impossible at every single point without the power of Christ at the core of who you are. Yeah, what he's saying here is that, you know, following Jesus, living for Christ, doing what is expected of us as followers of Jesus, well, it's impossible unless Jesus himself is living within us. He continues, the way you think, what you desire, how you act, how you relate to people around you, your whole reason for living is tied up in Jesus in you. So write this down. The Christian life is impossible without Christ in you. You can't live and love and be and do what God has designed for you. You can't do without his life, his power, his love, his strength, his peace, his wisdom, his work within your life. That's Christianity. Transformation from the inside out. When I read that, I was just overwhelmed by the truth of that statement. The Christian life is impossible at every single point without the power of Christ being in us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And there are several ways that Paul, in his writing, applies this. And the first is when he talks about how Jesus wants to encourage us. And when Jesus is within us, he's not saying, "Bob, get your act together. Come on, think." Or like my mother used to say, "Bobby, get down out of that tree before you break a branch." Jesus would never say anything like that. He has many times said, "Bobby, get down from what you're doing before you break your neck." He's always for us, never against us. No matter how incredible our sins have been, Jesus has never stopped loving us. Never. He's such a forgiving God. He's always encouraging us. I wrote a little list of some of the words of encouragement that Jesus gave to his disciples. He writes in John 16, "In the world you will have trouble." That's not encouraging, is it? But listen to how he ends it. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." You hear that? Even though things in the world can be pretty dicey, we can be of good heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Here's another one from John chapter 14. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor be afraid." Here's another one. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Too many times we as Christians think, "Man, I just can't do this. I just can't be the person Jesus wants me to be." What does Jesus say about that? "My yoke is easy." What that thing that you have around your neck is hard. "But my yoke is easy and my burden is light." One more. This is at the end of the book of Matthew. "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He's always with us. He will never leave us, never forsake us. That is the Jesus who is for us and never against us. And then next in this passage that we've looked at, another thing that I'm pulling out of the passage is that he fills our hearts with love. He fills our hearts with love. Jesus is the baker. You know, who puts all the ingredients into the pie? And he fills us. He fills our hearts with love. My mother's name was Ruth, and my oldest sister's name was Ruth. So the book of Ruth has to be one of my favorite books of the Bible, right? It actually is. I love this story of Ruth and her sister. Both of their husbands died. Their mother-in-law, Naomi, was Jewish, and her sons, her two sons, were both Jewish as well. But for some reason, they left Israel and they went to Moab. I think they thought maybe the farming was better there. I don't know why. But they both died. And Naomi turned to the two sisters and said, please, my daughters, go home to your parents and find husbands for yourself. And one of the sisters, I can't remember her name now, did go home. But Ruth refused to go home. She said, whither thou goest, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. God blessed the love that she had for her mother-in-law. They went home, and she met a man. And they became married. And they became the grandparents of King David. That's pretty good to write down, isn't it? To be the great-grandmother, great-grandfather of King David. You see, when we express love for one another, God rewards that. Because God's whole deal is wanting to teach us how to love one another, how to care for one another, how to take care of one another. That's one of God's desires for our lives. And then the next one that Paul says is we receive the gift of assurance. And when I was reading this, I thought, wait a minute, is there a hymn about insurance? What is it? What is it? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Anybody know who wrote that hymn? Fanny Crosby. I tell you, I'd be a much better pastor if I had a name like that. Well, not the fanny part. I didn't realize until I was doing some research about Fanny Crosby. And by the way, we have a number of her hymns in our hymnal. She was prolific. She wrote over 8,000 hymns and spiritual songs. And you know what I just discovered in my research about her just a couple of days ago? She was blind. You knew that.
Yeah, I did. Paper on her, and I had to speak in front of the class, and I started out with her hymn, To God Be the Glory.
Yeah.
I sung it, and all the people in the class were like, what's she doing? You know, I'm fascinated by her.
Oh, yeah. What an incredible... She was blind from the time she was 6 months old.
Yes.
Yeah. Apparently had some kind of something that
some
happened.
Disease or illness or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, and became blind and became just this wonderful songwriter. Some of our favorite hymns she wrote, and one of them is, one of my favorites is Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Isn't that wonderful? Paul says, when we have Jesus in us, he also gives us wisdom. And Jesus spoke to that at the very last part of the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about wisdom. He writes, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them to practice is like a wise man or woman who built his house on the rock. And as the rain falls and the streams rise and the winds blow and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it was built on the rock. And Jesus said, that's why Jesus gave Peter a new name. Peter, Greek, Petros, rock. And he said, Peter, you're no longer, what's his other name?
Simon.
You are no longer Simon, but you are now Petros, Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. So, Paul says that when Jesus is in us, we are encouraged by his presence within us. No matter what's happening in our lives, he's within us to encourage us. He is filling our hearts with love, even for our enemies. He's giving us assurance that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's giving us wisdom and knowledge. Another proverb, chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We can have wisdom and knowledge and understanding because God gives those to us. Well, I'm an only son. I had three sisters, two of whom are in heaven right now, wonderful Christian women. I am a man of faith very much because of their influence on my life. And one of the things that we did on Sundays after Sunday dinner was we gathered around the piano and we sang songs. We started with hymns, which my mother insisted on. My mother's name was Ruth, as you remember. But my sisters loved other songs, and so we sang, not bad songs, but like songs from Carousel and Oklahoma, you know, those kinds of songs. And so just as a little kid, I learned a song that was written in 1945. You will never walk alone. And I own that song. And if you want to have a right to it, I'll give it to you right now. You and I will never walk alone when we invite Jesus to come into our lives and show us how to love one another and encourage us and do all the things that only Jesus can do. And so I want to close with this, so I won't sing it. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high. And don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver sound of a lark. Walk on through the wind. Walk on through the rain. Though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on. With hope in your hearts, and you'll never walk alone. You and I will never walk alone. And that's why the Apostle Paul writes at the very end of this lesson for today, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Let's pray. Lord, you have blessed us . This great mystery that has escaped much of history has been passed on to us. That you're for us, you're never against us. That Christ himself lives within us as the hope of glory. And so as we walk from this place today, first of all, we're thankful that we can walk because we all know people and have some friends who find it difficult to walk at all. Thank you that you've enabled them to walk with Jesus. Thank you that you have enabled all of us to walk with Jesus. Thank you that you're for us, that you're never against us. Thank you for the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We thank you, we bless you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's close by singing a hymn. And I think I have the wrong bulletin here.
No, I believe in Jesus.
You already have it open.
Yeah, okay.
Let's sing it, shall we?
I believe in Jesus.
Right. I didn't have that written in my bulletin for some reason. Don't ask me. Let's stand and sing it together.
I believe in you, Lord.
Standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe that you're here now, standing in our midst, here with power to heal now, and the grace to forgive.
Friends, I believe in Jesus, and I hope you do as well. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. Can you imagine? To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Let's go ahead and sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Jesus Christ.